May the Lord help us to commence with hymn number 247. O Lord, I would delight in thee, and on thy care depend. To thee in every trouble flee, my best, my only friend. Hymn 247.
This evening I wish to read from two portions of God's holy word, both you'll find in the book of Psalms. Firstly, Psalm 40, and then following that, Psalm 139. Firstly, Psalm 40. To the chief musician, a psalm of David. I waited patiently for the Lord, and he inclined unto me and heard my cry. He brought me up also out of an horrible pit, out of the miry clay, and set my feet upon a rock, and established my goings. And he hath put a new song in my mouth, even praise unto our God. Many shall see it and fear, and shall trust in the Lord. Blessed is that man that maketh the Lord his trust, and respecteth not the proud, nor such as turn aside to lies. Many, O Lord my God, are thy wonderful works which thou hast done, and thy thoughts which are to us ward. They cannot be reckoned up in order unto thee. If I would declare and speak of them, they are more than can be numbered. Sacrifice and offering thou didst not desire. Mine ears hast thou opened. Burnt offering and sin offering hast thou not required. Then said I, Lo, I come. In the volume of the book it is written of me. I delight to do thy will, O my God. Yea, thy law is within my heart. I have preached righteousness in the great congregation. Lo, I have not refrained my lips, O Lord, thou knowest. I have not hid thy righteousness within my heart. I have declared thy faithfulness and thy salvation. I have not concealed thy loving kindness and thy truth from the great congregation. Withhold not thou thy tender mercies from me, O Lord. Let thy loving kindness and thy truth continually preserve me. For innumerable evils have compassed me about. Mine iniquities have taken hold upon me, so that I am not able to look up. They are more than the hairs of mine head. Therefore my heart faileth me. Be pleased, O Lord, to help me. O Lord, make haste to help me. Let them be ashamed and confounded together that seek after my soul to destroy it. Let them be driven backward and put to shame that wish me evil. Let them be desolate for a reward of their shame, that say unto me, Aha, aha. Let all those that seek thee rejoice and be glad in thee. Let such as love thy salvation say continually, The Lord be magnified. But I am poor and needy, yet the Lord thinketh upon me. Thou art my help and my deliverer. Make no tarrying, O my God. Now let us turn to Psalm 139. Psalm 139. To the chief musician, a psalm of David. O Lord, thou hast searched me and known me. Thou knowest my down-sitting and mine uprising. Thou understandest my thought afar off. Thou compassest my path and my lying down, and art acquainted with all my ways. For there is not a word in my tongue, but lo, O Lord, thou knowest it altogether. Thou hast beset me behind and before, and laid thine hand upon me. Such knowledge is too wonderful for me. It is high, I cannot attain unto it. Whither shall I go from thy spirit? Or whither shall I flee from thy presence? If I ascend up into heaven, thou art there. If I make my bed in hell, behold, thou art there. If I take the wings of the morning and dwell in the uttermost parts of the sea, even there shall thy hand lead me, and thy right hand shall hold me. If I say, surely the darkness shall cover me, even the night shall be light about me. Yea, the darkness hideth not from thee, but the night shineth as the day. The darkness and the light are both alike to thee. For thou hast possessed my reins, thou hast covered me in my mother's womb. I will praise thee, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Marvellous are thy works, and that my soul knoweth right well. My substance was not hid from thee when I was made in secret, and curiously wrought in the lowest parts of the earth. Thine eyes did see my substance, yet being unperfect, and in thy book all my members were written, which in continuance were fashioned, when as yet there was none of them. How precious also are thy thoughts unto me, O God! How great is the sum of them! If I should count them, they are more in number than the sand. When I awake, I am still with thee. Surely thou wilt slay the wicked, O God, depart from me therefore, ye bloody men. For they speak against thee wickedly, and thine enemies take thy name in vain. Do not I hate them, O Lord, that hate thee, and am not I grieved with those that rise up against thee? I hate them with perfect hatred, I count them mine enemies. Search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my thoughts, and see if there be any wicked way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting. The Lord bless to us that reading of his holy and inspired word, and help us in prayer. Let us pray. O Lord God of heaven and of earth, thou hast made all things and formed them for thyself and for thy honour and for thy glory, and hast, most importantly, formed thy people. This people have I formed for myself, they shall show forth my praise. A people in thy mind and known from eternity, a people born into this world at the appointed time, time that thou hast appointed, that same people that shall be with thee in heaven. O Lord, a people, the same people from everlasting, and yet found in these different places. And Lord, while we are here below, the different places we are found in providence, the different places in our experience, the different places where we gather for worship. O Lord, when we go to our homes, Lord, we thank thee that we have that token that thou art with us. And Lord, when we come into thy house, to know that thou art here also. And Lord, may we know in a special way thy blessing, thy felt presence, and thy knowledge of us here in Swayze this evening. Do grant thy blessing upon this course of truth, do bless the church and the congregation, and do bless their dear deacons, and be with them and strengthen and help them. We do commit them unto thee. We see, Lord, that thou hast granted that thy people might be as one, kept and blessed together, that it might be known here, as thou hast said of thy people, by this shall all men know that ye are my brethren indeed, in that ye love one another. And O do be pleased to grant that each one of us in membership, either here or elsewhere, that we are of those who the world looks upon, and they know and they see that we love the brethren. Thou hast said we know that we have passed from death unto life in that we love the brethren. O Lord, do in mercy leave us not to walk in a path where we do not have that love to the brethren. O do put right things that are wrong. Do be pleased to take away every stumbling block and every hindrance. O Lord, do be pleased to make there to be those reconcilings in our life, the same as thy salvation reconciles God and man. So, O Lord, in thy great mercy, make it to be known that there is also a reconciling of man and man. O Lord, do grant that blessing amongst thy people. O Lord, we do thank thee that thou art a God of which nothing can be hid from thee. Thou seest, thou knowest all things. Thou now knowest the rights and the wrongs. Thou knowest the true facts of every situation. And we do thank thee for this. We do pray for special grace and help when the things that we pass through shake that knowledge that we have of thee, or when we are severely tried, that thou dost not act according to what thou must know. O Lord, we do seek to commit ourselves unto thee. We thank thee for our first hymn, and we thank thee for thy word. We thank thee that thou art a friend that sticketh fast, closer than a brother. And O Lord, we do seek for that help, that where thou hast seen we have gone far off from thee and put men in thy place, that thou dost bring things into our lives that takes us off man. And, O Lord, though we may at first try to find another friend and a man that we can put in thy place, we thank thee for the truth of those words that we have sung, that thou art that best, that only friend. And, O Lord, we thank thee for those that we can call friends here below. But Lord, when it comes to those things that are so close unto our souls and our lives, O Lord, do grant that the brethren here, this congregation might know that there is none other friend that comes anywhere near what thou art. O Lord, thou hast a right to be jealous over thy people. Lord, we know in a natural way of how injurious it is when maybe a child at school finds that they are excluded and their friends are talking amongst themselves but leaving them out. And yet how oft we have done that to thee. We have spoken amongst ourselves. We tried to find help from one another and from men and left thee out. O Lord, do be pleased to put these things right in our hearts and in our lives. Lord, revive again that close walk with thee. Do grant that we might have many hours of communion and fellowship with thee. Help us to tell thee what we have told others, to tell thee what thou dost already know. And, O Lord, help us to tell thee what thou dost mean to us. O Lord, may thou be to us the chiefest amongst 10,000 and the altogether lovely unto our soul. O Lord, do grant that we might not be like the church that has left its first love. O Lord, do be pleased to cause us to return to thee, our first love, and that thou hast grant us, Lord, that blessing upon thy word this evening. Do sanctify trials and tribulation in the lives of each here. We know on their own they do not work for good, but under thy blessing it will. Remember any that are looking at things they're passing through now and cannot see at all how that ever can work for good. And do grant that that very thing that they might yet see it has. For thou hast said, we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them that are the called according to his purpose. So, Lord, do deliver us from our unbelief, our doubts, our fears, our limiting of the Holy One of Israel, and help us, O Lord, to trust thee with a cloud between, to trust thee as one who has never let us down before. Lord, how many Ebenezers we have raised up, and the dear friends here we trust that there are those Ebenezers raised again and again. Hitherto hath the Lord helped us. O, leave us not to cast away past helps because of present trials. Lord, do help us to look to thee, that thou hast been our help before, will be our help now. O Lord, do feed us with the bread from heaven. Draw our affections after thee. Set our hopes on things above. Deliver us from a settled nest here below. Lord, do bless and make to work for good even that which is in the first view a curse. Lord, thou hast that ability. The whole plan of salvation is turning the curse into a blessing. The whole thing that was done with Balaam was turning a curse into a blessing. Lord, do that for some poor soul here this evening, and turn their curse and their sorrow and their blackness into light and a blessing and a joy, and that which shall be a cause of thanksgiving unto thee. O Lord, may the Hannahs that have their burden and their case be able to return later with thanksgiving and those in a similar path in that way, the very trial, the very burden, be the very cause of a blessing later. Lord, we do pray that thou hast established those that are thine, strengthen them in the way, keep them from the adversary, keep them close to thy word, let them not be deceived, not by the world, not by the church, not by false brethren, not by false exercises. And Lord, do remember those that know thee not. Those, O Lord, that seek thee, do grant that thou hast remembered that thou hast said that they that seek shall find. And O Lord, do draw on those who thou art leading on. Bring them safely on. Teach them line by line, precept upon precept. Remember those whom thou hast blessed and hast favoured, but as yet they have not made confession of that. Take away the fear of man. Bring them to that place that if these should hold their peace, the very stones would cry out, Lord, do this for them. Remember any that are in bondage that could not move. However much they were persuaded, loose them from their bondage. Set them free and draw them on. Lord, we do pray for those that are dead in trespasses and sins, those that may be gospel hardened, know their Bibles well, know the plan of salvation well, but know nothing in the heart. Thou hast said the secret of the Lord is with them that fear him, and that it hath pleased thee through the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe. Every child of God is a miracle of grace. Do thou those miracles in this congregation and amongst the families and loved ones, some who may have turned away, some who may be attending elsewhere, those that, though they may not be hostile to the truth, yet give every appearance that they are utter strangers to it. O Lord, we do pray that thou wouldst grant these real blessings, that souls be snatched from hell and brought to heaven. Lord, remember this, our guilty land. Have mercy upon us. Restrain the hands of wickedness. Give wisdom to those in authority over us. And as we come up to the time when the Jubilee of our Queen is especially remembered, do grant that there might be true thanksgiving. We do thank thee for her, Lord, a reign that is longer than any of the kings or queens we read of in thy word. And, O Lord, we do pray thy blessing in her soul, and that she might have something of the spirit of her father, that she call for days of prayer and call for days of thanksgiving. O Lord, we do seek that thou hast put this in her heart to do. And O Lord, we would give thanks on her behalf. We pray for those in Ukraine in the distress that they are in. O, have mercy and put a stop to war if it could please thee. We know that if it was thy will, that we in our nation could very soon and very quickly, without hardly any warning, be also drawn in and have our cities and our towns from a distance reduced to rubble, not ever seeing an enemy, but having, feeling his might in our land. And, O Lord, we acknowledge thy almighty power, that the wrath of man shall praise thee, the remainder of wrath shalt thou restrain. We know what we are guilty of in our nation, and personally, individually, and as our churches. And, O Lord, we pray for mercy and thy long-suffering to be lengthened out still. O Lord, remember our churches. Lord, we thank thee that thou hast not left us without witness, We thank thee for those in this area and recently who have put thee on in open profession. Lord, we thank thee for these tokens for good. Lord, how many things we see amongst us that grieve us, but these things give us that hope thy Spirit remains among us, and we thank thee for it. Do, O Lord, feed us with the bread from heaven this evening. Help us, O Lord, coming as sinners, coming, O Lord, seeking to confess our many sins of thought, of word, of deed. And we beg, O Lord, that thou hast cleansed us from all unrighteousness. Put thy fear in our hearts, a tender conscience, and do exalt thy beloved Son to give repentance and remission of sins unto us. O Lord, do save us from the habit of sin, the pleasure of sin, the love of sin, our besetting sins, and do grant that we might be mourners over our sins and after thee. And Lord, when there are those here, that we may look back and think that we are not now as tender as what we once were. O Lord, bring us back again to days of our spiritual youth, and may we be tender in thy fear. May thy word be lively and sweet and precious in our souls. O Lord, remember any that have been looking back, mourning, sorrowing, longing that thou hast set things right again. O hear their cries, hear our cries, and come and do this for us. Help us now as we turn to thy word, be dependent upon thee to give that liberty in bringing thy word, and the friends in hearing, cause them to hear thy voice and see no man but Jesus only. Help us truly to worship thee, whether it be in the words of the Syrophoenician woman, Lord, help me, but cause, Lord, our worship, our praise, to ascend from this place this night, and bless all round about, and those who have received the Bibles, the schools that are receiving them, the local ones especially. Bless thy word to them. We ask through thy name, Lord Jesus. Amen.
Hymn 338. By whom was David taught to aim the dreadful blow, when he Goliath fought and laid the Gittite low? No sword nor spear the stripling took, but chose a pebble from the brook. Hymn 338.
Yeah.
Seeking for the help of the Lord, I direct your prayerful attention to Psalm 40 and reading for our text the last clause of verse 9. O Lord, thou knowest. The whole verse reads and the one following. I have preached righteousness in the great congregation. Lo, I have not refrained my lips, O Lord, thou knowest. I have not hid thy righteousness within my heart. I have declared thy faithfulness and thy salvation. I have not concealed thy loving kindness and thy truth from the great congregation. The words of our text. O Lord, thou knowest. This is a psalm of David, but there are those that have said, if we just look at this as David's words, David's experience, then we lose the whole message of the psalm, which is pointing directly unto Christ. You can hardly read verses 6 and 7, sacrifice and offering, thou didst not desire, mine ears hast thou opened, burnt offering and sin offering hast thou not required. Then said I, lo, I come, in the volume of the book it is written of me, I delight to do thy will, O my God, yea, thy law is within my heart. You cannot read those lines without realizing and knowing that this is indeed our Lord and Saviour, Jesus Christ, taken up by the Apostle in Hebrews as well. And the more we can see our Lord in these passages, the more blessed, more favoured we would be. But not only are we to see the Lord, but we also to see a people that are identified with him, and a people that have fellowship with him. I felt more and more lately how vital it is that if we are the Lord's people, that we have fellowship with him. And it is the Lord that will choose out to us in what way we have fellowship with him. And very often, it is in tribulation and it is in trial. Things that he passed through, that until we pass through them, we can never sympathize with the Saviour, never see that aspect of the wonder of his condescension, love and mercy to us, that he should go through things that perhaps now we are first tasting and first going through ourselves and think, I've read those passages all my life and never realized really what he did. It's like someone that had heard about many people having a hip operation or some operation like that. You've known many people that have had it. And then one day you've got to have that operation. And what a difference. What a difference. Maybe you've heard of people that have had heart bypass operations. Know many of them. But then you have to have one. How different that is. And you can then have that fellowship with those who have had those operations in a very different way than just saying, oh, I know about it. So-and-so told me about it, and I read about it in a book. Very different when you actually experience things and walk through things. And so it is with the Lord, to have fellowship with him, and especially in his sufferings, the man of sorrows and acquainted with grief, and the things that he passed through. That is the vital need of experience for the people of God. Without that, we'll never really know the Saviour. We'll never learn to love him in any other way than actually walking that path The Lord says how vital it is that we take up our cross and follow him. Instead of running away when the troubles and the trials come, think, the Lord's given me this. Better as it is, so that I can sympathize and know something of him. And you see in it, his aim and his hand is to draw you to him. Creatures, they are but vain at best. In them there is no solid rest, but in the Lord there is. And it is a blessed thing if things that we pass through, you say, they're not by chance. The Lord's appointed it. Why has he appointed it? If I'm one of his children, it must be for some good. And what better good that I know something more of the Saviour and what he has suffered for me and endured for me. And then we'll see the good of it. And then we have a token as well that the Lord has done and brought these things for this purpose, to draw us unto him. You ever thought about that, what the Lord said, no man can come unto me except the Father which sent me draw him, I'll raise him up at the last day? Ever thought, do you know by experience what it means to be drawn to the Saviour? Maybe in a deep trial, bitter trial, hard path, and in all the waves and the billows and the trials, you're drawn to the Lord, drawn to the Word, drawn to those things that are said of him. Drawn in a way you weren't before you had those trials. We sometimes interpret the word in those ways as if it was some nice smooth thing and just without any tribulation. But the Lord says, in the world you shall have tribulation. And the apostle said, ye must through much tribulation enter the kingdom. So we say, whenever the Lord speaks about being drawn, identify that with tribulation. When he says about fellowship, truly our fellowship is with one another and with the Father, says John, that won't be apart from the tribulation. We are here in this world, in a world of sin and of woe, a world that is cursed, but the Lord turns the curse into a blessing, and that blessing is not a blessing that leads us to all the pleasures and things of this world, but a blessing that leads us to the dear Saviour. Except ye eat my flesh and drink my blood, ye have no life in you. And that is his sufferings, his death, and what he endured to deliver us from the curse and to save us from our sins. And so in this psalm where we have David and we have our Lord set forth, we have the experience of one of his people, but we have the experience of our Lord. And there's not just this psalm, but many psalms. There is that drawing together which you say, well, it speaks of them both. They're merged, as it were. They can walk together. And that's a blessed thing when you and I can walk together with the Lord and with his people and with the scriptures. Have you had that? They've been your companionship. They've been those that you've communed with. Strangers before, perhaps. But now you get to know them a bit. And it's been in those things. The flesh dislikes the way, says the hymn writer. But faith approves it well. Well, our text says, O Lord, thou knowest. And there are those times in our lives that is where we fall right back on. We can't make head or tail of something. We can't make others to understand the way we would see something. We can't tell the right or the wrong of it. We don't even know the path that we take. But the Lord knows. That has always been really the resting place of God's people. That's why we read in Psalm 139, "Thou knowest my downsitting and mine uprising, thou understandest my thought afar off." First sermon I ever preached in this land was on that text in my pulpit in Cranbrook. That's the first sermon I ever preached over in this land. The recording of it's on our website. I hardly reckon it might have been a bad recording, but hardly recognise my own voice, strong Australian accent at that time. But I've never forgotten the word. And this psalm's a special psalm. And in it, right the way through it, is David tracing the Lord knows him right from the womb, right from conception, right through his life. And he says, such knowledge, in verse 6, is too wonderful for me. It is high, I cannot attain unto it. Not a word in my tongue. Thou knowest it altogether. The greatness of God, the knowledge of God, of things great, of things small. And that ever will be the comfort of the people of God. But then when they have troubles come and trials come, it is when that truth, that which they believed and have held on, is shaken, that then makes that trial a greater trial. In Psalm 73, we have in that psalm, that's a psalm, Asaph, is when he said that his feet were almost gone, my steps had well nigh slipped, for I was envious at the foolish, when I saw the prosperity of the wicked. And he stumbled at this. And he says, when the people of God see this, how that their eyes stand out with fatness. Those that are not the Lord seem to get on well. The Lord's people have got trials and troubles and tribulations. And it may be even amongst the Lord's people. We look at others of the Lord's people, think, well, they're getting on all right. But I'm not, and I'm in trial and tribulation. And it seems the Lord's hand is gone out against me. And we read then in verse 10 and 11 of Psalm 73, therefore, when they see these things, therefore his people return hither, and waters of a full cup are wrung out to them, and they say, and this is what they say, how doth God know? How doth God know? And is there knowledge in the Most High? Behold, these are the ungodly who prosper in the world, they increase in riches. Later on, he went into this sanctuary, he understood their end. The Lord had set them in slippery places. But do you know what it is when those things come into your life and you think, how does God know? How can God know? How can he let these things happen? How can these things be going on? Does the Lord really know? But this highlights the necessity of holding fast for faith, to hold fast upon this truth. God does know. He does know. He knows everything. And it is that way that I want to just look this evening, just in trying to put in several points as we go along, this vital truth and hold fast onto it. The devil would try and shake the people of God, try to unsettle them, that somehow God doesn't know and things are happening without his knowledge. Well, the first thing to really know and to hold fast is God's knowledge of his creation, that which we had in Psalm 139. What the Lord has made and formed and created, the sun and the moon and the stars, the whole of creation, he knows it altogether. Sometimes we don't really ponder and think about it. I wonder whether some of you that are children or studying things, when you have to learn and learn about these things, I think, well, God already knows about them. And I know many times in my design days as a mechanical design engineer, praying and asking the Lord, Lord, how shall I do this? How shall I make this machine? You know, even a simple thing, a year or two ago when we made our Bible boxes at Cranbrook, the many prayers I put up there, I had all sorts of designs, opening on the side and the top, and big ones, small ones, and all different things. And I had asked the Lord, what way will I do this? And I feel the Lord really did answer our prayers to give us a box that has stood without needing any repairs for 18 months in heat and winter, ice and snow, and it's been good. And the Lord has done it through answer to prayer. But the Lord knows these things. And I know it's a simple thing, but when Abraham was pleading with the Lord concerning Lot in Sodom, you know how the numbers got less and less. And the Lord said he wouldn't destroy it, I think it was for 50. And Abraham says, but what if there lack five? And the Lord answered, and he'd done the calculation. He said, if there were 45, I won't destroy it. And it's such a simple thing. But I thought, the Lord can do something. But of course he can. When you think of some of your students at school that may be doing calculus and very complicated things, the Lord can do more than that. Now, we have to study and learn these things, but he knows that. He's made all the laws. He's made all the laws for maths, for science, for everything. He knows it all. From the smallest atom to the greatest things, he knows. And it's no wonder the psalmist says, such knowledge is too wonderful for me. And he's right that we should meditate and think on it, especially when we have all things that are happening in the world. But I think in a second place, God's actual plan for the world is known. When the disciples came together at Jerusalem, and Peter had to give an account because he had been to the Gentiles, the Lord had blessed them, Cornelius' house. And James, he summed it up. He said that Peter or Simeon had declared unto them the way to the Gentiles. And he makes this statement, known unto God are all his works from the beginning of the world. From the beginning of the world, he'd already planned the way of salvation through the nation of the Jews, the Lord coming through, coming to his own. But then it was already written in the Old Testament concerning the Gentiles, and the isles shall hear of thy law, These weren't new things at all. God was working out his plan, his purpose. And it's good for us to know that. In the world, God has a plan. In our lives, he has a plan. He has a plan for his people. His purposes ripen fast, unfolding every hour. His providence unfolds the book and makes his counsel shine. He is not just adjusting it all the time, caught unawares. People don't do what he thought they should do. Rulers rising up that are too powerful and have somehow got wonderful weapons that he can't control. No. God knows all these things. Nothing can take him by surprise. When you and I come into trials and troubles in our lives, in providence, in the paths that we go and we walk, then we are to remember that. Remember it in the gospel plan. The beautiful plan, the promises first, the types, the shadows through the Old Testament, the great antitype, our Lord Jesus Christ coming, and then the proclamation of the gospel sent forth, and that not through man's wisdom should he know God, but through the preaching of the word and God's work in a sinner's heart through the Holy Spirit. That's how he will save. The hymn writer is so right when he says that we must not, as schoolboys, learn their task, learn God's truth. We can, and it's a good thing to learn it in a natural way, but it's not saving. It cannot be saving. Paul says very clearly to the Corinthians that in God's wisdom he saw fit not to give man that. That is part of the fall. Though he's given man much wisdom in many things, as regards salvation and savingly knowing the Saviour, he cannot know him by himself, except the Lord reveal himself to that soul, except he begin a work of grace, except he bless the preaching of the word, man cannot find. And every soul that does have their ears open, their eyes open, that hears the voice of the Lord through the preaching of the word, through his word, they have a sure token. The only way they do is that God has done it. God's opened their eyes. And sometimes, in the way that the word is brought to them, and it joins together with providence, they'll see this, the Lord's knowledge of them, and it's inseparably bound up with the word being blessed to them. Those times you may be talking about things at home or burdened and praying before the Lord, and the Lord sends his servant and preaches the very thing that you've been going over and burdened over, and you know that it's the Lord that's known your case and he sent the Lord's servant with that for you. Those things that follow after, often thought of the miracle, the loaves and the fishes, and the day after, John 6, and the Lord is joining the teaching of himself as the manna from heaven. Sometimes it will be you'll hear the word first in the house of God, and afterwards in providence the next week, you'll remember the word, and the two things will go together, what you're walking through and what you've heard in the Lord's house. Sometimes it's the other way around, and you'll have it first, and you'll be puzzling, crying to the Lord, and you'll come into the sanctuary like Asaph did in Psalm 73, and then your case is interpreted, then you'll see, then you'll understand. And it is important when we have this word and persuaded of it, O Lord, thou knowest, when it is in relation to God's plan of salvation and our part in it, it is God's knowledge of us and being convinced of his knowledge of us, where we are, the word that is brought, the word that is blessed, the suitability of it. God's word doesn't miss its mark. If God knows your case, and he knows his word, and he knows his servants, There'll be those times he matches it up exactly. And those are special times for his people. When there is that persuasion, the Lord knows. And sometimes it can be in the most simplest thing in providence. Most simplest thing. So then in providence, may we really think of those things where we may be at a complete stand as to know what is what, what's right, what's wrong, what way to take, how to take it, where can we go, who can we ask advice. Thou knowest, the Lord knows. When we think of the unfolding of the Word of God, we really have set before us the providence in the lives of the people of God. And one thing that we must always remember, though the Lord knows, often he sees fit to cause that we do not know until it is the right time that we do. We think of the crucifixion itself. The inspired word tells us that if they had known, they would not have crucified the Lord of life and glory. Did that make them not guilty of his death? No, they were guilty. But he was delivered through the determinate counsel and foreknowledge of God. Ye have taken by wicked hands, crucified and slain. And their actually lack of knowledge led them to do what they did. And then when they did know, they were pricked in their heart, convinced of what they'd done. For the Lord blessed them, gave them mercy, baptized, believed. But that just saying pricked in their heart hardly can really tell what they must have felt. To realize that the Messiah, that Christ, had been in their midst. They'd accused him of being a blasphemer, a deceiver. They'd seen him, they'd heard him. How they must have wished they could wind that clock back. Change things, change what they'd done. Not done, it's too late. But in God's purpose, it was vital that actually they didn't know. And the same we think of Joseph in Egypt. How much of that account would not be there if Jacob had been told right at the start, Jacob, you're my child. I tell you, you're your sons, they deceive you. Joseph is alive and he's in Egypt. How would it change that account? Wouldn't be the same at all, would it? And so it was necessary that God knew, but Jacob didn't know. And though his sons, they knew they'd sold him, yet they didn't know that the man before them that was speaking roughly to them was Joseph. And it was necessary that they didn't know. Sometimes we might struggle. Lord, if thou knowest, why don't I know? Why don't you tell me now? And the reason is because the benefit, the blessing would not be there because we, like the saints who have gone before us, have to walk out that path by faith. Not second guessing what the Lord will do. Not patterning our lives trying to think, well, this is what I think the Lord is doing. But walking according to the Word of God. Walking according to the light given. And trusting that the Lord will order it for good. Now, one thing that Joseph did with his brothers was to keep them coming back. The Lord will keep us also coming back. Remember before our Lord was crucified, He says, I have many things to say unto you, but ye cannot bear them now. But when he, the Spirit of truth, is come, he will show you all things. He shall receive of mine and shall show it unto you. There is a time that they should know. And we think of us here below. We walk by faith. One day the people of God shall see the Lord face to face. Paul says we see through a glass darkly. The scriptures, the Old Testament saints, it was written, I had not seen nor ear heard what God had prepared for them that love him. In Isaiah 64, the Old Testament saints in the wilderness, how could they imagine a chapel in Swansea like this? And with this gathering together and with the word of God, the Old Testament and the New Testament added to it, and all what the Lord had done so clear, how could they imagine that? They couldn't. And yet by faith they knew enough and to believe the Lord would come, would suffer at Calvary, and that would be great blessing follow. And so with the church now, we can't imagine what heaven is like. We don't know that at all. Paul says we know that when we see him, we shall be like him. We shall see him as he is. There are some things we know. We shall have a body, a celestial body. We shall be raised incorruptible. There are things that are known, but there's many things that are not known. And it is to be walked out in trust. The Lord will do. The Lord will do what is right and what is good, for it is an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled and reserved in heaven for you. Dear friends, if there are those things you're struggling and with at the moment, you think, if only I knew this thing, but God is holding it from me. I don't know. There's a reason you don't know. The Lord says, what I do, thou knowest not now, but thou shalt know hereafter. In that context, when he was washing the disciples' feet, it was very quickly after that he told them what he had done. But we can apply that word in other ways as well, because many times in the people of God's lives, they know he is about something. They know he is doing something. They know there is a purpose, but they can't see the end. It's like Joseph's dreams. He has the dreams, but and his brethren say, we'll throw him in this pit and then we'll see what happened to the dreams. But with Joseph, we read in Psalm 105, until his time came, the word of the Lord tried him. What did those dreams mean? What was before him? How would it unfold? What was the Lord doing? May we help to trust and walk by faith, leaning upon the Lord, looking upon his hand, that what he does is for best and for his people's good. I know the thoughts that I think towards you, thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you an expected end. The church says no. The Lord has forgotten us. No, says the Lord. Can a woman forget her sucking child, the son of her womb? Yea, they may forget, yet will I not forget thee. I have graven thee upon the palms of my hands. My walls are ever before thee. But the thoughts of the church often is the Lord doesn't know, or he's forgotten, or that he is going to crush me, or that somehow things have got out of control. No, the Lord is in control, and he knows what he will do. Now I want to finish with another thought. Just because the Lord knows everything, and he knows what he will do, doesn't mean to say that we say we don't need to tell him or we don't need to pray. Never make that error. You know, the prayers of Scripture that we have, you think of Abraham's servant. The subject of his prayer at the well was telling the Lord what his mission was, where he was, and about the women that were coming to the well. Then he made his petition. What was Jacob's? Jacob was telling about Esau coming and how he feared him and feared for the children, the little ones, and the flocks. God knew. He knew all about it. But it featured in a major way in Jacob's prayer. Many times the people of God will say, I don't know what to pray. How can I pray? What can I pray? Well, begin in this way. You tell the Lord what he knows. You tell the Lord what you've perhaps been telling someone else. And the Lord's been listening. But he's been sidelined. Now what the Lord did with the two on the way to Emmaus? He drew near to them. And he made out he knew nothing. He did, you know. But he made out he knew nothing so that they told him. And we should remember that. That though he knows, may our prayers begin with him telling him. He tells him first, we've actually been observing. And we actually have weighed up the situation. We're looking at the things. We're living in not a fantasy land, but in reality. We're bringing before the Lord those things that literally are. And that doesn't extend just to outward things. We read Psalm 73. And the things that he was bringing were the difficulties that he had with what had been happening and how that he was questioning the Lord. You think, how can I go before the Lord in prayer and tell him that I'm questioning your dealings? But the Lord knows it already if you are questioning. And he's actually honoured and glorified where we tell him. And we just tell him exactly our difficulties, our trials, our unbelief, our struggling with things, struggling with doctrines perhaps, struggling with our churches and what's happening. And we lay it before the Lord. We spread it, as it were, as a letter before the Lord. And you'll be surprised as you're doing that, there'll come up in your heart things you want to ask the Lord, things you want to request of him. Those petitions will flow from the things that come, the things that actually are going on in our lives. O Lord, thou knowest, should never stop us from praying. Should be an encouragement to pray. Should help us to pray. And then see those answers where what God knows, he brings us in his time and way to know as well. And as we go on to know more and more, that the Lord does know best. His will is best. His guidance is best. His wisdom is best. And he never makes a mistake. May we help then to hold fast to this truth. Use it as a basis in prayer. Don't be surprised if it is shaken, because it is in that truth that God's people stand firm. The kingdom of God standeth sure, having this seal, the Lord knoweth them that are his, and let every one that nameth the name of Christ depart from iniquity. The whole of salvation, the people that were given to the Lord to redeem, that people who he knew as he suffered on Calvary's tree, that same people that he knows as they're brought into this world at the appointed time and he calls them by grace, that people when their dust has been in the grave, as David's has for 3,000 years and Abel for 6, the Lord knows where they are and knows that people, and last day he'll raise them up again and he'll bring all that company above, his angels gathering his elect from the four corners of the earth. He knows them all. How much the security of God's people, the whole plan of salvation for the people of God is that the Lord knows. So don't be surprised if Satan will try and take that from you, try and shake you from it through some trial or something that's come. Hold fast to it and bring it before him. And even if to say, Lord, I feel it so shaken. I feel so troubled of this. Teach it to me again. Settle me again on this. May this word then be in your trial, maybe tonight, the burden on your heart, the exercise of your soul, the trials, the tribulations, this be the answer. O Lord, thou knowest. Amen.
God willing, Mr. Stephen Hyde will preach next Lord's Day, and Mr. Jabez Rutt on Tuesday evening next week. Our closing hymn is number 14. Begin, my tongue, some heavenly theme, and speak some boundless thing, the mighty works, or mightier name, of our eternal King. Hymn number 14.
Thank you.
grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God the Father, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all now and evermore. Amen.